But perhaps there's another way of trying to look at Bodhidharma's Li Ju, like trying to sort of, you know, bring it down to something that perhaps we can relate to even more directly. Perhaps you could look at entering through communion with primordial reality in very traditional terms taken from the Buddha. You can look at things in terms of the path of vision. This is the Buddha makes this distinction in the Eightfold Path, that there's the path of vision, which is the first stage of the Eightfold Path, and then there's the path of transformation, all the other stages. And by path of vision, you can take that to mean that you have some intuition of the way things are. This might have come about in all sorts, it would have come about in different ways, depending on your experience, depending on who you are. It might have come out, be the product of very deep thought and reflection. You know, through your deep thinking and reflection, you've come to some sort of intuitive sense of the depths of reality. Might have been some sort of spontaneous mystical experience, something like that. It might have come about through your participation in arts and culture. You know, reading great poetry, listening to great music, looking at great painting, even practicing the arts. It brought you to a deeper sense of things. It might have come out of a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, bereavement, but it brought you to something deeper, a deeper sense of things. You know, you just have some sense that somehow there's a deeper current to things. You have a deeper faith in yourself and in humanity, in life. However it comes about, something has opened up, something deep and real. It might not be the non-dual mind, then again it might be, but it might at least just be a kind of softening, an opening, and a sense that there is something deep and profound and wonderful and mysterious and magical to existence that's to be discovered and realised and known and that you want to live by. That's why you practice. That's why you live by the Dharma. You're not driven by ideas and abstractions. You know, they're not going to keep you going for very long. Somewhere you're deeply moved by the Dharma, by the truth. And you want to express that. You want to practice that. You want to enter the path of transformation. You want to be transformed by it. So we need always, I think, to come back to treasure, to cherish that fundamental intuition and faith and inspiration. It's just so incredibly important. I think if you're ever a spiritual friend to others, if you are a spiritual friend to others and you aspire to be a spiritual friend to others, this is probably the most important thing that you can do as a spiritual friend, to just help others to stay in touch, you know, with that deep response to the Dharma. Just stay in touch with it and deepen it. It's the lifeblood of practice. Without it, spiritual practice really is simply acts of will coming out of good ideas. And it just won't last very long. It'll just peter out. You'll just be overwhelmed by other things. No vision, no transformation. And you see this in people sometimes who train for ordination. They're doing it, they're trying very hard. Yes, they have got something. They're trying very hard. But something, you feel, hasn't quite happened. Hasn't quite connected up. They haven't caught the sort of living spirit of the Dharma somewhere or other. It hasn't sort of, maybe it is there, but it hasn't connected up with their life sufficiently. And until that happens, you can't really ordain them. So this sense of vision, this sense of faith, can't be taken for granted. It needs constant refreshment, constant deepening, through deep study, reality reading, through reflection, through meditation, through spiritual friendship, and living it out in daily life. Just doing it. Sometimes, as I've already indicated, you can get the impression that practicing Chan or Zen or Tantra, and Dzogchen for that matter, let's name those as well, it means that you don't do anything. You just sort of stop and suddenly realise non-duality in whatever you do, even if you're greedy or hateful or confused or stupid. That somehow expresses Buddha mind. But this is a complete travesty of Chan and Zen and all the great traditions of Buddhism, a complete travesty. Those people should be given 50 blows, but I wouldn't do that. In fact, it's a highly dualistic perspective. There is, I've noticed, around a kind of non-dual fundamentalism. You've heard of kind of the normal theistic fundamentalism, but there's a kind of non-dual fundamentalism, you know, that no need to do anything. It's all here and now. And even getting quite irritated if you say, well, hang on, you know, don't you have to practice something? You know, like be kind to people. No, it's non-dual. So that's non-dual fundamentalism because it's non-dual fundamentalism because it makes a distinction between duality and non-duality. If it really is non-dual, you don't make a distinction between duality and non-duality. You don't make a distinction between enlightenment and practice. Very important. So watch out for non-dual fundamentalists.